Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parents in Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice, and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you're listening to Parents in Hell with...
Can you say Rob Beckett? Bob. Can you say Josh Widdicombe? Wow.
Okay, so...
Hi, Rob. Hi, Josh.
What's the point? I'm a fairly new listener.
What?
I can tell. The point is you introduce us to the show, but it's just a child making noises.
I've gone back to the start to listen to all... listen as well as listening to your newly weekly episodes, and I'm obsessed. Smash season one in the space of 2 weeks.
Actually, I quite like this guy.
Yeah, woman.
Big fan, actually.
It's so bizarre.
Can you say guy for a woman, Kate?
Yeah. It's so bizarre listening to COVID talk, but the episodes are absolutely hilarious. Gutted I didn't know about this then, as I had my daughter, Sophia, on February 2020. Sophia turns 3 on the 10th of the second.
Long labour, 28 days.
Hey.
Good job on a leap year. Don't know what that means. Does that work as a joke?
I'll take it.
Leap years longer or shorter?
Leap years are longer.
Yes, it worked.
Turns three on the 10th of the 2nd, 2023. So it would be great for you to introduce her on your 10th of February episode. Didn't do that. Sorry. Can't wait to see you April in the O2. Love the podcast. Keep it up, Charlotte. There we go. Thank you, Charlotte. And I'm sure you will enjoy that episode.
You've read the wrong one.
Oh, no.
You read the wrong... That was from, Sir Connell in Australia.
Oh, no.
That's why you've read the wrong email, you fucking idiot.
Oh, no. And my Sir Connell message isn't downloaded from the server, look.
That's a completely wrong person.
I'll be honest with you, Rob.
Yeah.
I was thinking that was a fucking rubbish performance for a three-year-old, but I just kind of went over it. I was like, that is poor for a three-year-old. But we're just going to ignore it. Let's just skirt past that one.
How big was that leap year? 2 years?
Yeah, I'm out of it. Bloody hell.
Right, do you want me to read who that was? Or do you want us to redo that properly, Michael?
No,
are we enjoying this?
No, come on. This is what the people love, isn't it, Michael? Also, we're in a rush. Most crucially, there's 2 minutes in the bank.
Oh dear, that really tickled me, Josh. Do you want me to read out who it was? Let me play it again, and then we'll read out who it was. This is a mess.
Can you say Rob Beckett? Bob. Can you say Josh Widdicombe?
There we go. Oh, someone's ringing my fucking doorbell. This is a joke. It cut me off.
Is Lou at home?
Yeah, she'll get it, but it just cut my phone off.
Oh, right.
Wow.
This is wow. Just wow. If he just pressed that doorbell a second later, do you know who that was?
Oh.
Not the door.
Yeah,
I think it's
both.
Oh, that is Underdog Fitness to do some boxing pads with Louise.
Oh, there you go.
Here we go. Sorry. So that clip, though.
Yeah.
Josh. Okay. Hi, Bob, and wow. It makes sense when you listen to the audio. So he said wow for Widdicombe.
Oh, yeah.
Here is my one-year-old.
Makes sense. Don't need to feel bad anymore.
Right. My one-year-old Atticus.
Wow. Do need to feel bad. Only joking.
I wonder how Josh is going to deal with this, because normally you deliver the name and I give an opinion.
Yeah.
And actually, you're a bit of a bitch.
I'm not, no. I mean, I'll be honest, we've stuck our necks out with our children's names. I like it. I like the balls of it.
Yeah, you've called one Testes.
Atticus Finch. Who is Atticus Finch? Is that To Kill a Mockingbird?
I think it's a reference in a Bo Burnham song that I've laughed at, not knowing what it means.
Atticus Finch. It's To Kill a Mockingbird, yes.
Yes, of course. Oh, very fancy. Thanks for consistently being... the podcast that makes me laugh out loud and all the solidarity which gets me through many a day.
Oh.
See ya. Melbourne, Australia.
Oh, the big Melbourne.
Melbs.
The big Melb.
the big Melbies. The big Melbies. Have you been to Melbourne?
No, we went to Australia to do last. Like, we didn't get to go to Melbourne, which was heartbreaking because I've heard it's A, the best place in Australia, and B, is the home of Ramsay
Street.
Can
I tell you, I don't think it is the best place in Australia, Sydney? And I'll tell you why. Well, I think Melbourne's very European. Okay.
Exactly. The best place in Australia.
A bit like, could be like a small European city.
Oh my God, keep talking.
Right, okay. But like, but also because it's blocks, it also reminds me of like New York slightly.
Not
New York because it's tiny.
Oh,
but
stop talking.
It's actually, if you're going to all the way to Australia, I don't really want a coffee like a European city. I could have done that in an hour.
Yeah, right. Okay, yeah, yeah.
I'm not going 24
yeah.
hours to go somewhere that's not as good as Rome.
Yeah, it's a bit like Boston. Have you
exactly.
been to Boston in America?
Tiny.
It's basically a very nice European city.
Yeah, exactly. And it is nice, but you want, yeah, anyway. But I prefer other places in Australia. But a lot of the fringy alternative comics love Melbourne because they sit yeah. around having coffee, sort of talking to each other and reassuring each other about their shows. Never needed it.
No.
Josh, how are you?
I've had a hell of a morning, Rob. Hell of a morning.
<Have you?
laughs> bit of a school run disaster.
Yeah.
It was only just a minute. I thought I was going to be late, but I actually made it in time. So sorry if I haven't got a cup of tea. That is a worry, but I'll blast through.
Will you suffer without the tea? That's my question.
Only psychologically, not energy wise.
No, okay. Okay. So it's more of a crutch.
Yeah. Oh, okay, I'd love cool. it. No, I wish I'd brought it up now. I'd love a cup
Can't
of tea.
Can you text Rose to make you a cup of tea? Is she still downstairs?
I don't know whether I should.
Why don't we, for the pod, just say, hey, Rose, I was a bit caught up on the school run. I'm flagging. Please, could you make me a cup of tea? I think that's a fair... And if she goes, sorry, I'm busy...
I'm not going to say a bit caught up on the school run because she was with me. That would be an incredible...
Okay. What are you writing?
Any chance you could make me a cup of tea?
Please, you need a please. So sorry. What is she doing at the moment? Just looking after the toddler?
No, he's in nursery. So she... I dropped her off
Where's
on
she?
The way home. Because she went to get coffee.
Yeah, she can get you a cup of tea, mate.
Yeah, well, we'll
see. There's no kids indoors. She's got zero excuse. If anything, she should have brought one anyway.
Oh, my God, here he is. Here he bloody is. Old Jim Royal.
One of my favourite things is trying to cause an argument between another couple and then watch.
It's delivered. No, I don't mean that. I don't mean that. I mean the message.
Yeah, the message.
Sorry,
go on.
So, got in the car. The car is in a bad state, Rob. Should I start with... Do you want some pictures of the car?
What's wrong with the car?
It's filthy.
Yeah, okay.
So, I'll start with the front footwell, just as a little starter.
Let's have a look. The front foot. Yeah, but I'd say most comedians' cars and parents... No, that is bad.
But it's not bad when you see the rest of it.
Right, okay, so there's a bit of dirt on the floor and crap, but the empty bottle of milk's really worrying me.
Well, that is because they take them at school. They're building a nursery. They're building
an igloo.
Oh,
so it's been washed out. I just thought you were crushing 2 pints of Yeo Valley on the way to school.
No, I'm not that guy. No. But it looks bad on the floor of a car, doesn't it? An empty bottle of milk.
But my brother Joe used to buy like little pints of milk and walk around drinking them. I used to think it was disgusting.
Yeah. This is the back
fucking
seat.
Piglet.
This is the first back seat.
I apologise to Joe if that wasn't Joe, but oh my God, the back. What? Look, you've been sawing wood in there.
That's crushed up biscuits and stuff over time.
From
and
the toddler. Over time.
You can see like a dead pom bear there, can't you? You can just see the outline of a dead pom bear.
I'll tell you what, he looks like he could get a last leg at the moment. He's missing his right foot, that pom bear. That is bad. We'll have to put that on Instagram because that's very... Yeah. It's good to see that it's not just my car that's awful. Oh no, that is... What's that? Why is it like that? What is that? It just looks like the bottom
a bit of
a bin.
Of banana.
Oh, genuinely, that is disgusting, Josh.
Yeah, that's bad, isn't it?
That is a bad one. The others I've seen before, but that looks like it's rotting food.
Yeah, well...
It looks like a fox has got your bin and took it in your car.
Talking of rotting food, Rob. So we get in, we're late. Rose is going to have the right to reply on this episode.
Right, okay. What have you done?
I don't think I've done it. Well, basically, I think we're both in the wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. So, we put it into Waze. There's two different ways to go to school, depending on traffic.
Okay.
Put it into Waze. They're both long. But the way...
How long are we talking?
It's normally about 18 minutes, and we're talking 26 and 29.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that does buy it. That 29er.
Yeah.
Because if that creeps up...
Yeah. And Rose Rose goes, don't do the 26 route, because that's the one where I just got completely stuck on.
Okay.
And I think, you can't ever overrule Waze.
Look, as a rule, when you're a comedian traveling around the country, you never overrule Waze, okay? Yeah. Never overrule it. However, I think if someone does that run every day and they're talking from experience, she got stuck once, Rob.
And
Josh, if you go Rose's way, it's a win-win.
Well, this is the problem, Rob. This is exactly what I did. I decided, rather than go with my instinct, that I would prefer Rose to be at fault.
Yes, okay. Yeah.
And I'm just saying that is...
Yeah, of course.
Honestly,
no, I would too.
I didn't think that at the time. Like, consciously, I don't think that's the decision I made.
Yeah, no, I would
At the time, I now think I thought...
You would want that. I would want that. You'd want that to go, you were wrong. Yeah. I was right.
This way, I can't lose. Isn't that awful?
Yeah. Because if she does get there quick, you got there quick. And she's smarmy, but whatever, she was right. You got there quick. But now this way is the best way. Yeah. Isn't it?
Isn't that a terrible thing? So I went with her decision.
Right.
Yeah. Awful man that I am.
Was you going slow on purpose trying to catch the red lights?
No, I've never done that either, actually.
Yeah. That'd be weird, wouldn't it, actually, to do that? That's almost sick. No, I wouldn't do that.
By the way, she's making me a cup of tea.
What a woman. She's going to pop to the car to get some milk.
Yeah, well, on that, there was two milk bottles in the car. We were driving along.
Yeah.
And then the heating was on. So it was heating everything up. Yeah. My daughter was like, it smells in here. And it did. It smelled of gone off milk.
Oh, no.
One of the milk cartons that we were taking hadn't been washed out properly.
That's not acceptable.
So we'd only just put it in the
cart. You can't fuck about with milk.
The smell was unbelievable. And my son was like, he was holding one of them. She was holding the other. Oh. And the one he was holding stank of old milk. And then we were in the worst traffic jam of all time.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Made Rose phone the school to say we were going to be late, obviously. Also, obviously, the moment we phoned the school, the traffic opened up and we carried on driving.
Yeah.
And made it in the end. But it was a very stressful morning that meant I only got back 2 minutes before we started the podcast.
Okay, and what time do you normally get back before the pod?
10 minutes, which is the perfect amount of time.
Right, so it's an 8-minute delay. To be fair, so what time do you leave the house?
About 8:45. Get back about 9:50.
About a good hour round trip.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That's what we're looking down the barrel of when we move.
Yeah.
Lou's worried about it as well. And also, there's a junction. My brother said, there's a junction, right, that's pretty free and easy during the day. My brother said, oh, yeah, my mate lives around here. He says this junction is hell on the school run.
Oh.
And I've not told Lou that yet.
Oh, God. Well, she'll be listening. Have you been putting it into ways... at school run time to get a feel for what you're looking at school run time?
No, do you know why?
Because you don't want to know.
Because I'm not going to change my decision. Why torture myself?
Well, it could reassure yourself. You could reassure yourself.
Nah, it never does it?
Could you just give me the two postcodes so I can do that, Rob?
What you're doing there is you're trying to control the situation, Josh, right? And I've done that in the past. I'm not criticising. Because you're trying to look at it, reassure yourself, go this way, go that way. Just accept it.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario, you're in the warm, listening to the radio for a bit longer.
Oh, don't get me wrong. The way home... one of the great relaxes of my day, the drive home. I absolutely love it.
One of the great thinkers of his time, actually.
I love it. I love it.
Also, it's more stressful for you because you've got a sort of baby age in the car where my two just sort of sit there going, I'm so tired.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to school. Oh, well, that's good then that you're sick in the head and you made Rose be the bad guy.
I'm sick in the head. I didn't make Rose be the bad guy. But, you know.
How was your weekend? Good weekend?
Yeah, it was nice, actually. We both gave each other half a day to do what we'd want. That was good.
Right, what'd you do? Victoria Park for a little walk?
No. How dare you? I went into town for a mooch.
Yeah.
Just had a walk. I was meeting someone for dinner in town, so I went in early, just mooched around, went to some shops, bought some things, had a lovely time.
What did you buy for yourself?
I bought a jacket.
Oh, navy blue, buttons.
Yeah, of course it's blue.
With buttons.
But, Rob, all jackets have got buttons.
No, they don't. You can have a zip one. You've got a couple of zip
ups. Imagine a zip blazer.
Why have you got a blazer? Are you doing some fancy jobs without me?
No, it's not a complete suit. It's a blazer. Do you want to see a picture?
Yeah. You don't have to. No, I do want to see it.
You don't have to. You can see the picture.
I want to see it. They've got Baby Gap. Have got some great stuff. It'll be good to see some more of it.
Seeing a picture.
And what else did you get? You got a jacket? Anything else?
I walked out of Tottenham Court Road Tube, Rob.
Yes.
I'm going to sound like a sado now.
Now?
Walked out of Tottenham Court Road Tube. Yeah. And there was a big video art installation. And I thought, do you know what? I'm just going to look at this and enjoy it and watch it. And I stood there and I was like, this is what people do when they're not rushing from one thing to another. And I looked at the art installation for 15 minutes.
Okay. And was it nice having that little bit of space to do that?
I just thought, I can do this. This is me relaxing.
Josh, your life is opening up.
I know. This is potential.
What happens if your life opens up too much and everything's quite easy and we've got nothing to moan about
anymore?
No,
my Saturday was still awful.
All right, okay, we'll get to that.
Yeah. So I had a lovely time, really.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, really nice time. Very much enjoyed myself. Feel relaxed today. It was good. Rose on Saturday, she went out in the afternoon with her friends, then went for dinner with her friends. Got her ear pierced, Rob. That's a curveball.
You both sound like two 12-year-olds who are allowed to go to the local shopping centre on their own for the first time.
I fucking feel like it, mate. I fucking feel like it.
She got her ear pierced and went to the park with some lads. You just wandered around on your own buying blazers.
Bought some books. Yeah, Total Square.
Nice.
Went to Foyles.
I do have a favourite book, Taschen. I like Taschen books.
Oh, yeah. But they're too heavy if you buy it too early in the walk.
Yes, they are too heavy. But they're nice books. They're nice coffee table books, aren't they? They do good photography. I like photography, don't I?
Yeah, you do.
Oh, God, am I pulling down the sort of facade of this sort of tough nut from South London?
No, there's no tough nut of South London for you.
In my head, I sort of feel like I am. But I think it's because I'm surrounded by TV people.
Yeah, exactly.
It's sort of different. It's all relative, isn't it? So why was Saturday bad? Because I've got a play date from hell to talk to you about.
Oh, no, it was fine. Morning, obviously, I took him to the park, take him out, run him.
Afternoon,
the dog, Rose went out.
Bought the dog, pick up his shit, back in, let him sleep it off.
Oh, Rob, at the slide, it was perfect big slide weather.
Right.
As in, it was cold, which makes the slide faster, but it was dry. So the slide was at top speed, and I went off the end. So that was bad.
Nice. Did he laugh?
Yeah, luckily, because he was sat on my lap and some people... And then the second time I went down, I tried to slow myself down with my feet and I did a kind of 90-degree turn and ended up going down sideways. And I thought, this is too extreme for my tastes.
Does he... can he go down that slide on his own yet?
No, it's 7+. I really shouldn't be going down with him, if I'm honest with you.
7+?
Yeah.
It's a big slide.
It's a big old slide.
7+. Jesus Christ. Yeah, because now at the park, I just sort of let the girls run around. They can go on everything. That's liberating.
Oh, my God.
Now, that's freedom.
That's freedom, Rob. Sit there with your bloody coffee table photo book in the corner of the park.
No, but then I've been getting stronger because I've been taking them to the park to practice on the bikes and I have to carry the bikes and they're so heavy after a while.
Yeah. That's good. Get your 10,000 steps in. Tell me about your play date from hell.
So...
Are they listening?
Yeah, probably. No, do you know what? So let me talk you through what it was.
It wasn't all their fault.
No, let me talk you through why it was difficult, okay?
This tea's taking its time, isn't it?
Do you want a message of that? So when did you text her?
10:20.
That's 14 minutes.
Yeah, I know, but she's probably... I bet she's finishing her coffee.
Before she makes you one.
Rob, don't get involved.
I'm just saying, it doesn't take 14 minutes to make
Can
a cup of tea.
Can you text Lou and ask her to get you a glass of water?
Well, she won't be able to reply. She's walking. But so there's two types of coffee with people, Josh.
Yeah.
There's people that I have my coffee, and that means they sit down and they do something. It's almost quite ritual, whether they check the phone, read
that's
a book, or watch a TV
Rose
show.
Is a ritual coffee,
and
is an event. It's not a side.
It's
thing.
As you go. It's legs tucked round under the bum on the sofa, leaning, having
this
the coffee.
Best bit of my morning kind of thing.
Yeah, this is it. And this is protected. The school run's done. I come back 9 a.m. to 9:15. I have my coffee. Okay?
Yeah.
That means she's not even started making your tea yet.
Okay, cool. Well, that's good to know.
So that's 15 minutes since the call went in. Well, I'd quite like to hear, because obviously we're going to speak to Lou, or we've spoken to Lou, we're going to speak to Rose. It'd be quite good to hear a coffee routine.
Okay, yeah.
It's quite entrenched. But if that sets her up for the day, who am I to judge? I'm a coffee on the go guy.
Are you? Is Lou a coffee on the go or a coffee on the stay?
She's on the coffee on the go and on the stay.
Right.
She'll have one a move, but when the kids are in school, she will sit, whack on a bit of Good Morning Britain. We'll moan about whatever politician's on, and then we go to work.
Exactly.
That's our life. Anyway, so this play date. So we was away, weren't we, gigging? And Lou was like, I had Thursday and Friday off, but Thursday was just a mess. We didn't get in until 4 a.m.
We were effed.
Because we're trying to come back from the northeast, and the A1M was shut and the M1.
Oh,
and
my word.
And I followed Waze, and it took us the wrong way.
I can hear the stairs. Hello, thank you.
Where do you want it?
Here, please.
Where do you want it? Okay. Quite aggressive, was it, or not?
Rob thought that was quite aggressive, what you just said.
Well, I don't care what Rob thinks.
She says she doesn't care what you think.
Okay, I said, enjoy your coffee.
She said, how's that for aggressive?
How's that for... I'm quite scared of Rose. I think she could have been a barrister. I reckon she'd just destroy people in an argument.
Yeah.
Have you ever beaten Rose in an argument?
No. And I imagine I'm about to lose one about Waze.
About Waze, 17 minutes. It's actually as nearly as long as your school run, that tea delivery. anyway, right, so the play date. So Thursday was a bit of a write-off. I had bits and bobs to do. And then Friday, we had to get out really early to go and do boring admin stuff, but we both have to go and do this and we have to make decisions, right? So I was doing that on Friday. And then she, about Friday lunchtime, she went, I was getting my hair cut. She went, oh, can you change your haircut? Because I need your help on the school run. I was like, okay, why is that? She went, we've got a play
just the time, not the type. Can you change it? I thought she meant, can you change your haircut?
Oh, no, she's still not keen. She's still not keen on the old French crop. But
could you get a Rachel?
So she went, can you change it? Because I was going at like 3 o'clock. So I moved it back to 1 o'clock because the kids have got a play date. I was like, oh, okay, assuming that there'll be one friend coming over. She said, no, both children invited two friends over. In the end, my youngest had two friends, my eldest had one friend. And they come round and it was absolute chaos because it was so cold they couldn't go in the garden. All lovely kids on their own, but it was just loads of kids, right? Screaming and shouting. And then basically what happened was the younger ones, the difficulty is if there's more than one coming around for a play date, what we normally do is if one comes around for a play date and they're arguing over like what they want to watch, or one likes Bluey, one likes something else, we normally go, well, let your guest choose.
Yeah.
Because it's polite to let the guest choose. And, you know, we're at home all the time. You can watch it when they go, they're here now.
Yeah.
That is my absolute get out of jail free card.
It's your let's go with your route of ways approach.
Yes, yes, exactly. And then, if they've got two friends over, if you do that, then if the other two go, well, I want that, I've got nothing left in the locker.
Oh, no, Rob. It's all going wrong.
It was fine. And then I had to pop out to get some antibiotics. Anyway, I've got sinusitis, another boring side hustle I've got going on. And then I come home, and then it was about 5:30, and I said to Lou, oh, what time are they getting picked up? She went, 7 p.m.
Whoa.
That's quite late, isn't it?
That's interesting.
Yeah. I thought she was winding me up. Like, a bit of banter. I was like, yeah, good one. She went, no, 7 p.m. I was like, what? But to be fair, and all the kids are fine, but I just think having five children in your house on Friday night
is
too many. They were all lovely and all that, but it's like it's a lot. And then when there's more than one, then they all argue over what they want. And because there was different ages as well, some wanted like kiddie stuff on and someone had older stuff on, but then the older stuff the younger ones didn't want. So it was just a bit of felt a bit like a stag do. When everyone's all right on their own, but together, there's too many conflicts of interest.
Yes.
You know, it's trying to merge those groups.
Well, when you're on a stag do, if you're the best man, you simply cannot let anyone have a say. You have to lead a kind of fascist state.
Yes, exactly. But you can't lead a fascist
dictator
state with children.
Yeah. No, you can't.
But they were all good, but it was just a few too many kids of different ages and stuff. But 7 p.m. I think 6 p.m. would have been fine. It's that last hour killed us off. But probably would have been fine till 7 if they just had one friend over. But five kids. Not for
that
people that have like five or six actual children. I just don't understand how you
fair play to them.
And exist.
You've made your own bed.
I don't know if you've had this, right?
And all the other beds.
I went in the morning watching CBeebies. Have you got Sky? Have you got Virgin? Or what you got?
I got Sky, Rob.
Sky. I'm trying to...
Can I just say, it's incredibly easy to use format.
Are you promoting it?
No, carry on.
Oh, is that sort of, I felt that was like a hidden advert in some. You know when sometimes I do hidden adverts in TV shows and I have to put the little P in the bottom?
Yeah.
Like paid promotion, and then like everyone on Love Island's putting on like Radox shower gel something. And CBeebies, normally if they need to do something, like brush their teeth, go to the toilet, eat, I'll pause the telly and go, right, I'm not playing it again until you do
classic.
That. One, I'd say my greatest power as a dad.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's my box or... like Bluey have got some stranglehold over the CBeebies. It wouldn't let me pause it. You are not allowed to pause this show.
What?
I've never seen that before.
You can't pause Bluey.
I couldn't pause Bluey this morning. And I don't know if that's a Bluey thing.
Someone write in and tell us what that's about.
Maybe it was just an error today, but it wouldn't let me pause Bluey.
Wow.
But I didn't know
it was
a Bluey
thing.
I don't
know, even if it's live.
Bluey's so big now, maybe they could just start doing that to like, show off their power.
I don't know if Bluey can pull that. I don't know whether...
Okay, do you want it on Sky? No pulls for us. I want it a bit like, you know, when like a director gets all wanky and it has to be shot. You know, like, do you know my biggest bugbear is when you go to the cinema and a film's been shot in a super, super wide screen way for no reason. No, I've got no idea why. And that's the only way they'll release it. And there's only like three screens in the world it fits on properly. And you're at like Bromley View, squinting.
Do you know what happened, Rob? Bluey went to Sky, the people behind Bluey. Joe, I can't remember his name.
Brown?
Joe Brum, yeah.
He does the music, doesn't he?
Yeah. No, he's the... Oh, is he? I think he's the main guy. He's the main guy. Okay. Good-looking bloke. He's got it all. Anyway, he goes
also,
to Sky.
Can we mention about the live show? Tell that and I'll talk about that live, the live show.
This is a long way to go for a weak pun, Rob.
Okay, go on, sorry. You get the pun out, go on.
He went to Sky. He went to the head of Sky.
All right, okay.
And he said...
Because you're doing a pun in a fictional, hypothetical situation that also dilutes it. Yeah, go on.
He went to the head of Sky and he said, what are those things at the end of Bluey's legs? And what did the guy say?
Pause.
And he said... Not on our show, there won't be. Absolutely no pause.
That would be a great story if that was real.
It's good, though,
isn't
it?
Just left.
And
he goes, we'll pay you more money. He goes, don't need it.
Don't need it.
I just want the control. I want to be in charge of how people watch my show, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
So why don't you fuck off and change the system?
Fuck off and change the system.
Yeah, I am in your office, but I'm telling you to fuck off out of it because I'm Joe Brum and I make Bluey. He just turns up like Peppa Pig, like gangsters, like mafia bosses.
So tell me about what you said.
He's a good-looking guy. So this is really funny. Yeah. So we're doing the live show. He's obviously Michael's with us on the live show, and he's known as sexy producer Michael. He's got a big sexy voice. And there's points of the show where stuff needs to be brought out. I was like, oh, Michael, why don't you bring it out and say hello to the audience? But Michael doesn't want to do it in case the audience sigh at his appearance.
Oh God.
But Michael, you're a good-looking guy, Michael.
Good-looking guy.
Well, that's very kind of you to say. There's been a lot of hype in the last 3 years, and there's no way at least 50% of those people aren't going to be underwhelmed. It's just a fact.
The women.
Yeah.
The women. No one wants to walk out on stage and hear 6,000 people collectively sigh at your appearance. Yeah. It just isn't worth it.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah, because you'll never live up to sexy producer Michael in their mind, whatever you look like. Well, actually, I'd say you're an attractive man, but you're not sort of like Brad Pitt.
You're not Joe Brum.
You're not Joe Brum. You're not Joe Wicks. You're not Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
But you are, I tell you what, seriously fuckable for your age.
Rob, I've got a question for you.
Go on.
Do your kids, you know when they say an adult phrase and you're like, where has that come from? Rose's mum had bought like a kind of, you know, one of those activity books for my daughter.
Yes.
And she was doing a maze. You know, you like just follow through a maze with a pen. She just turned to me and she went, I love a good maze. And I thought, that's such an old person's thing to say.
I love a good maze. Not like I love mazes, Dad.
No, it's like something Alan Bennett would say.
I love a good maze. Or I love a good Victoria sponge.
Yeah, I love a good Victoria sponge.
Can't beat a Vicky sponge in a cup of tea, wherever you are.
Piping hot cup of tea, can you?
So I go abroad and I love to pass, but I love a Vicky sponge, me. Can't beat it, can you? If it's soft and moist, the jam, the cream, love a good maize. I bet she'd love National Trust. You should get a National Trust property card. That's what you'd love.
She would love a good
a stately home.
Stately home. She'd love a good stately home.
I've got visions of you, Rose, and your eldest walking around stately homes going, isn't this lovely? And then your son's dragged along on a come down after a rave he's been to.
Give it 10 years.
10? 11? Off his face on MDMA. I think that's a bit... I don't think he'll be doing that at 11,
no,
will he?
No, as I say, Rob Hackney. Now,
Hackney, he'll be selling it.
I don't think so. We've not got a business brain, our family.
A lot of organiser. I don't think, like, respect the organisation of drug dealers. It must be really hard doing it.
Do they keep a balance sheet or is it all
getting
just...
Getting it in the country.
Oh, my word.
It's hard to run a business when you're allowed the stock. Do you know what I mean?
Email in the oldest person thing your kid of under five has said.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got gout. Stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
My knee's giving me jip.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I watched something interesting, Josh. I watched the KSI documentary on Prime. And anyway, so what's quite interesting is he basically, massive YouTuber, earned loads of money. Then he started doing boxing and done music. And he went to like private school in like Watford and with a lot of other these YouTubers. All sort of, it was like a little movement together. But his parents, very sort of strict African parents. I think they moved to the UK first and then... Yeah. Sent the kids to school, but obviously he's a bit like wild and out there and was focusing on YouTube and not on studying and things like that. Yeah. But like the relationship with his parents is really odd. And like, if it, like the way he talks about it, it's more really a podcast about his relationship.
Get him on, Rob.
Well, his relationship with his parents and his brother and how that sort of drove him on to succeed, to try and impress them. Because he sort of like was impressing them, but like not in the way they sort of wanted to be impressed, especially at the time, in defense of their parents. YouTube was, no one could ever imagine that you could create an industry and a business from YouTube. At that point, it was just sort of messing around online. But then he has a sit down with his dad and talks about it, and they sort of like never hug, and then they sort of have a hug. And it's because I'm like not from that kind of family where like my mum and dad always hugged us and kissed us. And so I found it really interesting. But I don't know if whether like you never, like people that don't really hug, and there must be people listening that they didn't hug their parents and they still don't. And now they've got kids, they do the complete opposite and they're very affectionate. Or maybe they've carried it on and because they didn't get hugged, they don't know how to hug. And I don't know if it's like you hug them when they're little and then it changes over time when they sort of become 11, 12, go through puberty and start becoming men and or women. It makes it feel awkward. But I just don't know. But I don't know if I thought it'd be quite interesting. If there are any people that listen that maybe as a kid didn't really get hugged or shown affection, how has that affected your upbringing of your kids? And like, how did you feel? What did you do? Because I just think, because obviously KSI is this multi millionaire, has all the success in the world, number one albums, boxing champion, earned millions, really successful. This documentary is basically fully fueled by the fact that there was an awkwardness between him and his parents. And it's amazing that no matter what success you go on, there's something there.
It's good that he's aware of that as well. It's really important that he's aware of that, I think.
Yes. So it's sort of
like... a lot of people wouldn't be aware that they've been driven by a weird relationship with their parents.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really interesting to see both sides of it. But I still feel like... He's in the documentary, he's sort of almost trying to educate them and control the relationship into a degree where like, no, look, this is what we can do. Why don't we do this and talk about this? But it sort of feels like you can't really change other people's behaviour. They're on their own sort of journey.
Yeah, exactly.
And they sort of need to do their own. He's obviously doing his work in his head about how he feels, but you have to wait for other people to do their own, sort their own stuff out. Because I think the way they were talking about it, they were talking about the way they were parented, KSA's parents were so strict and different that they were doing a sort of more chilled out version, but even KSI found that strange. So anyway, it's really interesting documentary,
well,
especially
let me
add
that, to
that dynamic.
Rob, yep. KSI, one of the most successful men in the world, in the world of entertainment.
Yep.
Have I told you that I was once supported by KSI?
Really?
Yeah.
What, emotionally or on stage at a gig?
No, okay. On stage at a gig.
Yeah.
I did a corporate for Ben and Jerry's.
Okay, yeah.
Right, in a park, where there was a stage in the middle of a park.
Right.
And It was me, Catherine Ryan. This must have been a decade ago.
Right, yeah.
And a bloke called KSI, who'd never done stand-up before, I'd never heard of, and he was going to have a go at stand-up.
Yeah.
And a lovely bloke, really sweet guy.
Yeah.
Went on, and stand-up's a lot more difficult than it looks when you're doing it for the first time.
At a corporate in a park, in the worst place. Yeah.
And I remember thinking, bloody hell, I'm never going to hear from this loser again. This guy, who the fuck is this bloke? Lovely bloke, don't get me wrong, but what the fuck is going on here?
Well, do you know what, though? That makes me feel better about how hard it is to be a comedian. Yeah, because these YouTubers, they give boxing a go, well. He's got three number ones in music.
Exactly.
And like, he's decent, but he's not, you know, you don't listen to him and go, oh my God, it's like the new Adele. Yeah, he's not like, his voice isn't, you know, it's sort of well put together and catchy songs and good collaborations. But what's interesting is because a lot of YouTubers did try and do live shows, but when everyone got there, it was like, well, I don't know, you can't just show us clips of the videos kind of thing. It's a sort of a backhanded compliment to comedians, really, that YouTubers can't really nail that.
Have I recommended this? I know we're going in for serious documentary recommendations about parenting.
This is a space for it, Josh.
This is a space for it.
You can't all be fucking laugh a minute, man.
Exactly.
We had
a good old laugh and now we're showing that we're not dead inside. Have I recommended the John Bishop documentary about his son?
No.
Oh, man, it is absolutely brilliant. It's called Life After Death, DEAF, and his son lost his hearing at the age of 15.
Wow, that's late, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's about John Bishop and his son, and it's really moving because it's about how the family and particularly the relationship between John and his son Joe was affected by this. And John Bishop's, he beats himself up a lot about how he reacted to it. He tried to solve it rather than try to kind of identify with it, I think. And
yes,
it follows John Bishop and his son as they try and kind of rebuild their relationship. And John Bishop learns sign language to do a gig in sign language to deaf people.
Oh, that's good.
And it's incredibly moving and brilliant. And it's on ITVX. And I'd highly recommend it. We should definitely get John Bishop on to talk about.
Yeah, we should. I can't believe we haven't got him on before, to be honest.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's interesting. I didn't know that. And I do think sometimes you do, with those sort of, any sort of issues in life, and obviously your kids is a big part of your life, you do try and solve it rather than accept it.
Oh, totally.
And I think accepting it is that, you know.
He said, like, for years, he was like, he's the solve. And I know, the thing was, I was watching it and I was thinking, I know that is what I would do.
Mm, of course.
I know I would go, right, how do we do this? What needs doing so that this isn't happening anymore? But instead, he kind of learns through this documentary. I mean, I don't want to kind of, but you know, that it's about living this new life and adapting to it. And they go and meet, like, this guy goes and plays football with a deaf team and stuff, because his son, I think, also has gone on this journey where he didn't want to accept that he was deaf, so didn't want to do stuff like play for a deaf football team or things
that
marked him out in that way. But it's great.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it was on in September, but I'm sure it'll still be on ITVX.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. John and Joe Bishop, Life After Death, ITVX. There you go.
There you go. Any recommendations, Michael? We've turned this into Richard and Judy's documentary club.
I got a really good documentary about the Nike Air Jordan endorsement deal called One Man and His Shoes.
There we go.
Yeah. So that you've just plugged your own documentary there.
Director's sexy as hell?
And what's it called? It's actually your documentary. What's it called, Michael, properly? I misheard that.
It's called One Man in His Shoes, and I believe if there's any sales agents or distributors out there, the licensing period is about to come back again this year.
Unbelievable. John Bishop's son going on a journey, discovering a new life after a diagnosis of being deaf, and now you're flugging your fucking licensing deal. You should be ashamed of yourself. All seriousness, though. So where can you watch it at the moment?
I think in this country it's probably still on iPlayer.
On iPlayer, One Man in His Shoes, and if you want to buy
it. Can you pause it?
Can you pause it? Oh, dear.
Oh, we go.
Here we go. Oh, look,
should we do IMDb? Should we do a couple of bit correspondi before we go?
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Have you got it up?
Should I read some out?
Yeah, go, you do it. Yeah. You do it for a fucking change. Put a shift
in. What kind of correspondence do you want? Kids saying the wrong things. Boomers!
Let's do kids saying the wrong things. We've had a lot of booms, haven't we?
Yeah. cute things your kid says. My 5-year-old said to me when she was tired, "Mummy, I'm so tired, I've got ball bags under my eyes." I didn't bother correcting her, and she still says it. Sam, mum of three from Essex, I'm very much excited about a night out at the O2 in April to see you boys.
Yeah, boy.
Tickets still available for Wembley and Nottingham.
Wembley and Nottingham, tickets still available. They're going to be the best ones.
Yeah.
I love the pod, listening to mispronounced words from the kids. My eldest, who is 11, from the past few years, has always called them quality treat. That makes much more sense. That makes so much more sense.
A quality treat rather than quality street.
When I corrected her, she said it didn't make sense. She figured it was quality treats because they were, in fact, quality treats.
Yeah, where does the name quality street name come from?
I don't know. Is it like a place? Yeah. Well, it is like a place. I think they've gone for like a folksy kind of name, haven't they?
Or they're all made in a fake street. It was originally developed by Macintoshes of Yorkshire, which founded their son, Harold Macintosh, developed Quality Street in the 1930s to create an affordable, highly coloured assortment of chocolates and sweets. I might invent some sweets.
Yeah, go on. All right, Jamie Lang, calm down. On that, I don't want to recommend another documentary, but I watched a lovely documentary series on Channel 4 called The Secret Life Of, in which they went through different industries and the history of them, and one of them was on sweets. And they're like, so it'll be like the history of crisps in the UK, and it's like all about the fight between Walkers and Golden Wonder and stuff like that.
Right.
And it is both nostalgia and fascinating because these people fucking hate each other. The Burger King McDonald's Wimpy one is really good.
Wimpy's clinging on in there.
And they get like the person from Burger King to try a Big Mac on camera, and they're like, oh, it's very dry. I've never liked them.
Love it.
Yeah.
I love that. I love the sort of insular nature of like when people are in their job or in their world and they just know everything.
Totally.
So the Macintoshes, they started up Quality Street, also did the Rollo, Caramac. He was the king of the toffee, this guy.
He was the king of the toffee. So they've been absorbed into another company now.
They merged with Roundtree's.
Oh yeah. Well, this is.
And then nothing ever been bought by Nestle.
And do you know what the biggest thing to come out of that? What would you say Roundtree's biggest sweet is?
Wine gum.
The other one. No, that's
fruit gum.
Fruit.
The hard ones.
No, the sugary ones are the fruit. Michael, come on.
Why's Michael got
fruit
to do
pastels?
It?
Fruit pastels. Thank you.
Oh, he'd fucking nailed it, to be fair.
Yeah. So, throughout this, the voiceover, which is Joe Brand and every interviewee, they're called fruit pastilles.
Really?
Yeah. Within the sweet industry, they're called fruit pastilles.
Or do you think Joe Brand got bored and just whacked a bit of swaz on it?
And started riffing. I'll ask her about it when she does one of our live shows.
So, yeah, Macintosh Coffee is the biggest candy place in the world. And then his son basically brought out the Quality Street.
Oh, there we go. What's the rival of the Quality Street? Is it the Cadbury's Roses? Are they still a thing?
The Roses and the Heroes and Celebrations came out of the woodwork.
They were
very
everything.
Much second gen.
Yeah.
Do you reckon the Roses? I think Cadbury's just nicked the Quality Street idea.
Can you still get Cadbury's Roses?
Yes, you can. Every Christmas in Utter.
Can you? Oh, yeah, you can look at
it. It was introduced in 38 after Quality Street was launched by Macintoshes in 36.
Oh, the Roses.
Do you know, in different countries, they've got different flavours in different colours.
Oh, my word. This is my kind of podcast.
What was your favourite one?
My favourite Quality Street or favourite Rose?
Favourite Rose.
I think we only had Quality Street, and my favourite was the long, thin toffee finger.
Of course it was. You've got like a post-war mouth, haven't you?
I'd sit there and I'd think about the foundation of the NHS. It was lovely.
Just still only have one egg a week out of respect.
What was your favourite? Did you like it when they brought the big ones out on their own?
Not really. I found it too much, but I like the purple one. You know, the purple and the hazelnut, the nut in the middle. So my dad used to love that because we were Rose, you were Quality Street. Obviously, why this podcast works.
Exactly.
Everything
exactly.
You're East Germany, I'm West. Everything down the fucking middle. I'm up, you're down. You know, happy medium.
There's something for everyone.
what we used to do is most Christmases I used to nick all of my dad's favourite ones and then plant ones in there, but with the wrappers and hide them to annoy him.
Nice.
Classic.
Very good.
Stuff there.
One more quick. My daughter Cecile has always said fast backward for rewind. She's now 9 and still says it. We find it so cute, we don't correct her. That is another one where I think it's correct.
Oh.
Josh mentioned that Lou could use Rob's back-shaving shenanigans as unreasonable behaviour for divorce.
FYI,
the law changed last year, and you can't blame the other person now. From Louise, divorce lawyer in Newcastle.
So you can't blame the other person?
No, she's also asked for her details to be sent on to Lou.
Right, sorry, what's going on here? So is a solicitor getting in touch to represent Lou for a divorce? Claiming
right, let's
that
do
she...
small business shout
no,
out. So let's just do the small
Lou,
business
could
shout.
Could Lou divorce me because I ask her politely to shave my back hair?
No, she can't anymore. You're in the clear.
Brilliant. Fucking
yeah.
hell.
Yeah.
Yes. That time.
She didn't ask for her details to be sent on to Lou. I'll just
oh,
add
you,
that.
Oh, that was banter.
Yeah, that
okay,
was banter.
Cool. Can I get hers, though, just in case?
Yeah.
For representation, not... for a new wife.
Why don't we do Saffron Walden again, Rob? Twice in the episode. Hi.
Double
my
saffron.
Partner, Zoe, is a single parent, a former international level judo player and coach at Saffron Walden Judo Club.
Yep, sure.
I've got a story about Saffron Walden after this. A community
club. Perhaps your S-dub special.
Yeah. So on a volunteer basis, she's in the process of setting up her own business in Saffron Walden, SW Judo Tots. It's a preschool judo club teaching 3 to 4 year olds the fundamentals of judo, physical literacy, spatial awareness and safe falling, as well as socialising by working with other children. It's due to open on Monday the 20th of February, offering Monday and Thursday sessions. All information can be found at SW Judo Tots. I'm really hopeful for it to be successful and be so grateful for a mention on your podcast. Big fan of the podcast. Thanks, Kai.
Kai, well, good old judo. What's your Saffron Walden story?
My friend was in Saffron Walden for lockdown.
Yep.
And you know on Thursday nights when we'd go and clap on the streets and somebody would hit pans?
Mm.
Across the road, out of the house, came Minty from EastEnders.
Yep.
And he played the saxophone.
Oh, love it. Absolutely love it. Do you want one more small business and
yes,
then we're
please.
Done? Hi, Rob and Josh. Love the podcast. My name is Emily and I'm the events and marketing manager for Golfin, spelled G-O-L-P-H-I-N, like dolphin, but golf. And listen to the podcast religiously. We are a small children's golf manufacturer based in Scotland. We work hard to grow the game of golf around the UK and beyond by reaching parents of small children with the hope of introducing them to our clubs. We're a tiny team. Probably helps make the clubs. Only a bit of fun. We're hoping to grow out of Scotland into England more. We would love a shout out on the podcast. We'd definitely love to send your kids a free set of clubs as a thank you. You don't need to do that. We're not doing that. We don't do bribes here.
We don't do bribes, but thank you for offering the bribe, but we turn the bribe down.
If you want to send them to a charity or auction them off on our behalf, please.
Yes.
Instagram, Golfin for Kids. GolphinForKids. Golfin for Kids. There you go. Get yourself some golf clubs for your children.
That is
Josh,
good. It's been an
I'll
absolute
pleasure.
See you
pleasure.
Next time. See you
Loved
next
it.
Time. Bye.
Bye.